Blog Talk Radio.
Don't worry. Oh no, oh no, no. No, no, no. Hey, don't worry. Oh no, about the thing. Don't worry, oh no. About the thing. Don't worry, oh no. About the thing. Don't worry, oh no. Things gonna be alright. I know that the time is rough and tough. You can't give up. You got to hold on. You got to stand strong. Remember, behind the dark cloud is a silver lining. I want you to know I and I are just a full screen. The same things you do for me, he will do for you. Jah is not ungrateful, he'll be right there in your need. Don't worry, oh no. About the thing. Don't worry, oh yeah. Things gonna be alright. Don't worry, oh no. About the thing. Don't worry, oh yeah. Things gonna be alright. Some coming with raping, robbing and shooting. Things got to rearrange. All they are doing is bare backbiting. Things got to be changed. Babylon don't want us to live upright. They always putting up a fight. I know things got to change. I know things got to rearrange. The same things Jah do for me, he will do for you. Jah is not ungrateful. About the thing. Don't worry, oh yeah. Things gonna be alright. Don't worry, oh no. About the thing. Don't worry, oh yeah. Things gonna be alright. You can't give up life so easy, my friend. You get to stand up. I know there is frustration sometimes in your life. You get to stand up, my friend. You got to stand up strong. The same things Jah do for me, he will do for you. Jah is not ungrateful.
We don't want a few token.
Sunday night, it is the Ethiopian World Federation Common Incorporated, the Women's Auxiliary, Local 26, with the one and the only host that got the most that understand what's going on in the world, Mrs. Sadie Gomez. Let's give her a nice hand and welcome her into the studio.
Well, thank you so very much, Dr. Robinson, for your very kind words. This is Sadie Gomez of Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, Local 26, coming to you live and alive for the Woman Auxiliary of Local 26. So again, what a wonderful Sunday evening. You know what we do here. This is Sadie Sundays. This is the place where we arrive. And we examine the things that are normally under the rug, you know, the things that they love to tuck away under the rug. But this is the place where we arrive, we remove things from under the rug, we examine it, and we sometimes just put it right back. But on this program on Sundays, this is where we talk the truth. The truth will set you free. The truth is often revealed here on Silly Sundays, and we're really not afraid to speak because, you know, we have that freedom from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. So I welcome all my wonderful, wonderful guests onto the show tonight. You know what we do on Sundays, a place, again, where you can bring whatever you feel to the table, and, of course, we're going to talk about it. What's happening here and abroad? What's happening for Ethiopia, for Africa, for the very love of the motherland. So as Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, we working as ambassadors for Ethiopia and therefore understanding the continent, not because it has been chopped up in so many pieces, but at one time, if we should just remember, the whole very continent was called Ethiopia. It was one land which was intended by the Almighty God, one great and powerful land for the black people of the world. Are we not afraid to say about the black people of the world? Because we are the black people of the world. We are the original people, and Africa, the cradle of civilization. So we stand very proudly and safely behind her. But here we are with a little bit of mischief going on the continent. Every so often, I believe, they will try to see how best they can separate the black people or put some monkey wrench. So at sometimes, even here in the West, we would see where there are black people who sometimes believe they're not black. Or, but I myself sometimes believe they're not black either for their behavior, because to be black is, and to be trapped in this royal melanated skin is quite a great thing, because you know we are indeed God's people and we are in fact the original beings. So it's a wonderful thing to be trapped in this melanated skin. But for other reasons, there are some people now I'm hearing of one young man in Somalia saying that the Somalians are not black, the Ethiopians are not black, and then a few others. So my question is, if they're not black, what are they and who are they? So I would see this argument. We can probably go on to Google it and watch it, but really I want to really kind of cut the chase in this argument, because for some things, when you give it energy, it has a way of manifesting itself. So I will not allow anything negative to manifest while I give it energy on this Sunday show. Because when God created the world and he created man and he created us, well, of course, I should just give you all a really good joke, because you know when God created the black woman, you know, he really was not joking. So, but when God created man and he created us people, he created a special people, a unique people, a peculiar people, of which to call his very own, the very Israel that he loves so much. And we are seeing, it's a countdown in the very last days, where all the wars we are seeing, the very last war, whether we like it or not, is going to be the race war. And that is against the black people, the true Hebrew Israelites, defending their birthright and their legacy. I'm saying to you, because it will be who gave up the bowl of vineyard for their birthright. It will be a real case of Abraham and his the very case of Abraham, and here we are in this very time where we shall examine it as what we call Jacob's trouble. We are in a time here where Jacob's trouble, it's all about the 12 tribes of Israel. It's all about the 12 tribes, which is supposedly they would like to say is dead, but no, they are not dead. They were just scattered all throughout the world. And here we are in this here time, which we call Jacob's trouble, is the gathering of the 12 tribes. And God shall not be mocked. His word go out and shall not return void, and he tells us. So we are in this special time where, if you all notice, black people right now are getting so much attention. I am starting to wonder, where are the other people of the world? Because every time you look in the news, you're almost seeing everything's happening about the black people. But what we ought to know, we are definitely in the limelight, and we are here in the spotlight because of the time. I would like for my wonderful, intelligent audience, because you know once you tune in to Sadie Sundays after three times, or you become so super intelligent. But here we are, my wonderful student audience. I want you to understand here and observe the time as which we have entered. It's not the time of Aquarius, you know. Oh, we are past that one now. So I want you all to open your eyes and ears and understand and see we are here in a time that is called Jacob's trouble. A few people stepped forward and they were brave enough to say, oh, we are the Hebrew Israelites. And of course, you happen with that. They got shut down, have to apologize and probably pay a fee. But, you know, if he had just come and say these Sundays, he'd have been stirring him, because we believe truth's on the side of tongue. But all the same, we have to understand and observe time. For us to say we are not black, then what are we, gray? Or there are the grays, you know, so we should not even stop to talk whether we agree or not, because there are the grays. You know, the American government now is saying that the UFOs do exist. Oh, yeah, they're coming clean on that. They said this, they saw spaceships and everything. And, oh, just in a few minutes, you know they're going to see that Area 51 really exists as well. But for now, we keep a lid on that because we're not doing the UFO story. But just to say about color of skin, if we were grays, then we would be the reptilians. And they are really among us, because as we do observe, there are a lot of non-human entities that are, in fact, among us at this time. But, again, another story for another day. We will always do whatever we can on Sadie Sundays. But just to examine these things, I would like to know from my studio audience if they have heard of the story and if they can expound more on the story. So, Dr. Robinson, would you give us a little more on the story concerning the Somalian boy?
Okay, we're going to open up 212-586.
Yes, good evening, Sadie Sunday.
Good evening and welcome to Sadie Sunday. My brother, this is a very familiar voice. I am sure I know this voice. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome. I was going through detox, not hearing you for a couple of times.
Oh, my God. I will not repeat my audience anymore. I do apologize.
I'm listening tonight, but what you're saying is true. I didn't read the information on the Somalian boy as picked up. But there's so many things that are happening, at this time. You can get most of it on cable, but major news networks are not following a lot of the stuff. And if you go to certain platforms, you will hear the truth, about what's going on in the world and what time it is from every vantage. So I will leave this to people who are a little more astute than I am. In the application of this understanding, I will listen.
Well, what you could share with us also, my brother, some of the very things that concerning the continent that, in fact, if it's interesting, you will share at a later time. So concerning this Somalian boy, Dr. Robinson, are you there to share the story with us concerning what's happening in the continent?
Oh, yeah, well, Africa is a very diverse, universal cradle civilization, the creation civilization, and you have some ancient artifacts and art and antiquities and all kinds of civilization research is done. And things are a little tough to identify because you do have tribalism, you have tribal kings, you have what they call the oral history. You have a lot of historians in Africa that present the history to the children through oral presentations, and so it's an extensive geological society. It's very diverse. And so you find people in different parts of Africa, East Africa, West Africa, South Africa, North Africa, different tribes come from different places. And, you have the Arabs, and sometimes the Arabs say they're not, Egyptians have Arab-looking selves. I don't know that means they have Arab blood, but they look Arab. And you go to Ethiopia, you go to Djibouti, East Africa, Somalia, Mauritania. You go to different parts of Africa. People look different than what people consider to be an African, dark skin, woolly haired, etc. And so, these ethnicities have been taught different. They've been taught different religion, different background, different understanding of who they are. And in America, in the West here, we have what they call race and ethnicity. So I'll give an example. My race is black in America. I'm considered a black man. My ethnicity could be that I can trace my heritage to Nigeria and the Yoruba tribe, and my other family heritage is what they call in America Native American Cherokee Indian, and my father's mother was 100% Cherokee Indian off the reservation, the whole thing, and I experienced that as well. And then his father was an African mixed Cherokee Indian. And so, my race is black and my ethnicity is what it is. It's whatever the mixtures of cultures that make up me from my mother and father's side and et cetera. And so people get a little tense when they feel maybe sometimes black has a negative connotation to it to certain people. Maybe there's a negative, thought about being black, being poor, being all these different things. there's a tendency where people feel, you know, insecure, and you find a lot of light-skinned people. I don't want to start calling people out, but you find light-skinned people with good hair, what we call back in South Carolina.
You know you're speaking the truth over here.
You know, you find a lot of people confused. You know, you find in families, you know, like my family, we have dark, you know, and we have light. Like we say in South Carolina, light, bright, and damn near white. So, you know, you have these different shades of colors, and sometimes there is a negativity, and sometimes people discriminate on the basis of color within our black race. You know, sometimes you find people discriminate against one another. So this young man in Somalia is saying that Somali people, based on their ethnicity, which he's right, they come from a, you know, different level of ethnicity. There's a lot of mixtures in there, but the continent is Africa. Now, people know, or should know, Africa wasn't always called Africa. There's a man who according to what the historical factors go back many thousand years, went there and took it over and named it Africa after his name, Afrikaan or Afriko or whatever his name is. But you have the people, I'm saying that so you all can go study, and show thyself approved, a workman not afraid to divide the word of God. Because when you talk about human creation and human behavior, you're talking about the creation of God. So it all goes back to that. So I'm hoping that we will all study. I do say that this young man said he don't care what people say, what people think about him. He's going to say this. I give him his prompts from being brave. He's feeling something, and he's making a statement. And I think it's good. It's good that he's saying it out loud, because a lot of people have these infringent feelings and they keep it to themselves and they pretend that oranges is apples and apples is grapes and pears are watermelon. And they live in a lie, living in a phony psychosocial situation. But it's good, this young man, he's feeling some kind of way. And he's expressing himself, making way for all Somali people coming on that social media, TikTok or whatever, where he was on, and they're expressing their feelings about being Somali. Now, I have a feeling that people should be able to call themselves whatever they want to be. You got people today, you got girls that say they're boys, and you got boys that say they're girls, so there's a whole bunch of confusion going on in a lot of different places. And I said, okay, if the young man feels that way, you know, maybe we should take a little time out to talk with him. He's angry about something. He's a young man. He looks like he's 17 or 16, you know, and he haven't experienced life yet.
He has to bring him a Sunday. Dr. Robinson,
I'm gonna reach out. Yeah, definitely. I'm gonna look for his email address and his social media connection, and I'm gonna tell him, come on Sadie Sundays and let Sadie know what you're thinking.
Sadie will fix it.
Sadie will help you out. And you know something, Sadie, you're so smart because you're right. You know what? Sometimes this is a cry. Sometimes it's a cry for help. You know what I'm saying? All of y'all out there, like myself and children.
My ears is ringing already.
I'm telling you, and you're 100% correct. It might be a cry for help, you know, because I'm going to tell y'all something. The God honest truth is when you come to America, there's a whole bunch of confusion about who you are and what you are and back and forth and this and that. And I see it. You know, I've been here all my life and generations of you know, my heritage here, both native and both brought across the continent in slavery. And I tell you, it can be very confusing for us who've been here all this time in terms of who you are and what you are. And I think people should have the ability to identify themselves, their culture, and where they're from. And I think, you know, we need to, this is beautiful because a young man is saying it, 16, 17. A lot of young people feel displaced, but they won't say it. And for him to come out and say, well, look, you know, this is what I'm feeling. And I don't. And so what he's saying is, you know, this is what I feel, and I don't care what nobody say. But at the same time, he's looking for someone to come back and say something. So I think we adults need to come back and let our children know that, you know, what's the circumstance are, because colonialism and imperialism have done so much psychosocially. Psychologically, they have framework that you feel at once upon a time, you know, growing up here in America in the 1950s, they did a study and they had a white doll and a black doll. And they asked the black children, which doll is more beautiful? And lo and behold, the children picked the white doll. And I'm talking about black children picked the white doll because psychologically, they did not see them black selves as beautiful, because that's not what the society was selling. And, you know, it's good that this young brother, if he feels some kind of way or some kind of displacement, that he's coming out and he's saying, you know, this is how I feel, because we need to address these things. We as a people have to address these. This is very important. You know, a lot of people came out against the young man and talked about him, and, you know, a lot of young people called him a knee, you nobody, you know. But I think we need to, these are issues we need to address. And I think that we as black parents, black grandparents and so forth and so on, and uncles and aunties and nieces and godmothers and godfathers, we have neglected to tell our children, you know, who they are and what they are, and that they are beautiful. You know what I'm saying? And so I think, like you say, Sadie, you know, get him on the Sadie show and let him talk to Sadie and get his mind straight.
Most definitely, Dr. Robinson. Because what is coming to mind before you complete a conversation, and I just want to interrupt really quick, because there's something called the impression that is left on our mind. And I'm going to go really, really a little deeper here, because, you know, on Sadie Sundays, we often enter into the scriptures. I can't help but think about, in the Old Testament, I'm thinking about Laban. I'm thinking about Jacob. I'm thinking about the fact that he said, if these sheep came out speckled, you can have them. And if for those who didn't know their Bible, and I'm going to teach some Bible classes right now, we are the impression of the mind creates an effect. And we see where Jacob, for 7 years, he labored with Laban because he wanted his beautiful wife, Rebecca. For those who don't know the Bible story, I'm preaching this evening. Please stop me, people. It's only Sadie Sunday doing the scriptures. But listen and understand things. An impression of the mind, whereby a man was able to actually watch a pregnant cow and make sure these sheep were speckled so that he can own his freedom. But we are seeing where they had even put the white Jesus in our home, so the very Savior was white with blue eyes. So how could I be black and disgusting? Oh my God, God will never save me. So maybe I should be white if I need to be qualified for this great heaven. So again, the impression in the mind. Take that white Jesus off the wall. I'm warning you, people. I don't want to see another generation with it. I told you all about it. That impression was so heavily and psychologically laid upon us. It took us 400 years maybe to even shake ourselves from the very shackles of the mind that they place on us with this white blue-eyed man called Caesar Borgia. It's a drawing of a gay man indeed. So let's not even bash the culture, but we understand what it was really about when we teach our children the truth. Because of the impression that is left with us. If black was something that we're not proud of, I don't want to be black either. But since, of course, I know being in this melanin skin is such a wonderful thing, because the very thing that Cain killed Abel for, it was because he was black. He wanted his color, his melanin. Do you know the price of melanin on the market? It's worth more than gold. So I am hoping the only color I can become is a little more black, because I've become a little more valuable, you know, with me, with my royal black self. I am not trying to get any lighter. So therefore, we understand the very essence of the jealousy. Cain killed Abel. Why? Melanin. So now you are trying to tell me I'm not black so you can steal my birthright? No, I am black, B-L-A-C-K, and I'm very black. My heart, however, may be white and pure, but my skin is black, and I'm telling you I'm very proud of it. So therefore,
Amen.
We examine again impressions of the mind. So let's open the mics of the other studio audience so they can partake in this conversation. Dr. Robinson,
yes.
Who do we have there?
Yes, hello.
We have some people. Oh, go right ahead.
You know, it is something because when we study history and even biblical history, and if we go back farther enough into the true books, the original books that were written, you know, all the stories that would come down, Akhenaten was the Garden of Eden. It wasn't east or west or north or south, and in one area the island, not the island, the continent was the Garden of Eden. And in that garden, from what I read in studies, I'm not a biblical archaeologist or you know student as I used to be, but the fact is that when Noah and his grandchildren they were born and they were different shades of what we now call black. You know, Noah was an albino.
Exactly.
And they said that his skin glowed. You know, he was a miracle. His skin glowed. You know, but him and his wife produced children of all different colors. Now, I just learned something the other day, I should get an applause for that because I don't want to learn nothing. The other day is that the black woman has her DNA and her genes can produce any shade of child. That is something that white people don't have, you know. And that was interesting because us being the Mother Earth is as to Akhenaten, you know, and so on. Why not? Okay, it's women that give the birth. We set the seed, you know, and so on. But, you know, with all things considered with our history, you know, and I know we concentrate a lot on the United States, the reason why we are like we are here is that we've never been any place where you just see all black people. They stirred us away from that. They stirred us away from going to the island. They stirred us away from going to Africa. You know, they hate us, you know, and all this other kind of stuff. And this is part of, part of the spiritual warfare. We're speaking these things because we can touch, taste, and feel it now, all right? But this is what the psychological damage to humanity is a spiritual warfare as well as a physical warfare. You know, and so on. And so we have to, if we think about it like that in this country, the U.S. snakes of America, we can see clearly what's going on, what will happen. But what we need to do more so than anything else is teach our children. And I say that not because there's a generation, some generations of our children, white and black, who got it? They got it before we got it, you know, in the 50s, 60s, you know, and 40s. They got it, you know, and they're handling it in the way that they're handling it. You know, you say it's God's way, but this is a whole different generation, the past two generations. And now the sheet has been taken off and light has been shown, and this place is not going to survive as it is. You know, it's going to change, and it's going to change because of our youth. And hopefully our youth going into parents and grandparents can pass all of this history down, because now it's, you look at TikTok, YouTube, you know, all these computer situations every day. Every single day I pick up something that I didn't know, you know, in history. Not that it wasn't there anyway, but I didn't know it. You know, and these white people didn't know it. Now they found it. They claim it's theirs. You know, cities under cities. you know, when you talk about the 40 years that the Hebrews in Israel, they were traveling around in circles. Generations and generations and generations of the history changes. The history doesn't change, but the locations are named different. And then when they start digging, it proves they were going in circles because so many civilizations were under the ground as those 40 years or hundreds of years were passed, and that generation was gone to create another generation, hopefully, that will continue to do the work of God. You know, and we failed and failed and failed, and, you know, some may say that's why we're here. You know, so there's a lot of prayer to go into this. There's a lot of intelligence and information that is still not found, you know, to increase the knowledge of our people and the freedom of our people and humanity in general. You know, so Eve gave birth to, you know, we say, oh, if you've got light eyes, you that means that you have some white in you. No, that's not true. Okay, you had dark black or blue black. My brother Jacob was almost purple. You know, but my other brothers and sisters, you know, lighter than him, lighter than me, like my grandmother who was almond complexion. And but the cradle of civilization means just what it is. Everything came from there. Every human being came from there, originated, you know, from there, unless you believe the Yaku theory and, you know, some other things that that we study and have heard over the years. So it's important to pray and study and keep the conversation going so that we can have more children calling into Sadie Sunday, or children to me anyway,
most definitely, my brother, once they call into Sadie Sunday, they will learn and understand the truth, and they will understand the history of themselves. But there's something that you were saying, and I can't help but want to add something, because I just want to say, for God so loved the world, He made a black woman. So that is what God's love for the world did. You know, he gave us to you all. So that's the love of the Almighty God. So when you look at the black woman, you can say, oh, my God, that's how much God loved the world. So here we are watching and observing the black woman who are capable of producing any color race. And then we are seeing the skin color and the objective of whether we are black or not. Yes, because basically if I tell you all this, you're going to be waking up for the first time. Everybody in the world is black. There's not a color, really. But the fact that some of them were stripped of their melanin because of their sinful nature, it doesn't take away anything from us. But everybody in the world is black. But those light-skinned ones, they strayed far from God and they had to live in the caves, and now they're calling themselves important. Oh, no. They came from the caves. But hear what we are saying here. We are looking at the continent, and we are looking for an educational purpose. We are looking at the geographical nature of the continent. The reason why Africans had lighter color and darker color and bigger noses and bigger lips is because of the geographical location. People who live in the mountains, their nose was more thin because they did not need to absorb so much air because of the nature of the mountains. In the mountains, if you know that it's colder up there and the air is more crisp, so your nose will be more thin. Yeah. But when you live in Nigeria, like my relatives, your nose will be like mine because you have to breathe in more air. And we take up more air on the earth because, you know, we are more important than everything. So we have the bigger noses. So therefore, the lips and the whole face of the African person represented the part of Africa that they came from. It wasn't a case of you're not black, you're not white. But if you live in the West, you look different. If you live in the North, because of the fact of the geographical location. God in his wisdom knew the people in the mountains did not need the big noses because they did not need to take in so much air. The air is fresh and crisp over there. So therefore, your features, your physical features would appear different, like the Ethiopians. But you live in the West, it's different. But here we are, brothers and sisters, from one mother creator. So, aren't we family? Yes, we are. But again, division. Satan in his genuine chaos and chaotic nature will want to tell us now we are black, we are light, we are white. Yes, it happened in the Caribbean. In the Caribbean, we have something called the light skins and the black skins. If you're light skin, you're more important to your grandparents than if you're black, because therefore the little black hen chicken was scorned upon. So my beautiful fiancé, who's light skin, he was more preferred among his family, and I could tell of these things if you all should know the man that I have here. So the black men now were a little bit of, pushing the back because they were too black, and we did that because of colonization. The white man did a doozy on our grandparents. Again, I tell you all, take down that white Jesus is making you all crazy. I said it's 80 Sundays, and we would not do Caesar Borgia anymore. That gay, you all know who I'm talking about. Yes. Take him down because it's causing a division among us. We are all black, and I'm saying to you, everybody in the world is black. Don't be jealous if you're 1% black or 100%. You see, we are really starred. We are 5-star black, 4-star black, 3-star black, 1-star black. I was trying to be a 5-star black, but I heard that the white man raped my grandmother, so I cannot even claim this 5-star black thing. You know, so I really wanted to be a 5-star. But I think I'm a 4-star. Please forgive me, but I am a Nigerian because I know my great-grandfather, you know, he was one that came with the scars on his face and everything. And Dr. Robinson, I welcome you. We are both from the Yoruba tribe, and I hope you are practicing Yoruba, because I am as well. But if you want, just a second, I will teach you the art of the Yoruba tribe, Dr. Robinson. You know we do everything on City Sundays. I'm just afraid to teach spirituality over here.
Amen,
so let's welcome
amen.
Our guest, who is in the audience. Let me know.
Listen, I just had one point here that's an interesting point. Henrietta Lacks. Okay, this was in the 30s, I believe, and she went into the hospital, and they said she had malaria or something. I'm not looking at it right now, but malaria or something like that. And that when she died, they took her organs. Okay, that's why giving birth, you should keep your do something else with your organs, that rather than sell it, let the hospitals take it and make $40,000-$50,000 off you, and so on. So her organs and her DNA and things were the things that helped cure polio, that helped cure polio, and still today is helping to cure many other diseases. This is from a black woman. Her son just passed, and he put up the fight, and it's still being fought to regain his mother's DNA and information so that he could have control of that. And there are a lot of lawyers that are black lawyers that are on that line. But that just shows you something again. Here, this black woman's DNA and genes help cure half the world. Except that, you know, we weren't allowed to go into white hospitals to receive it. You know, so that's just a note.
A very important observation, brother.
And
yes, we'll open up 205-7742.
I'm on the radio.
205, radio. Your mic is open. Welcome to Sadie Sunday Show.
Hello,
205-742.
Hey, hi, everybody.
Hi, welcome. This is a familiar voice to the show. One of
Mr.
our regulars. Ruffin.
Yes, I was listening in. Yes, it's a new day, but everything stayed the same. They said more things changed and more things stayed the same. And the one thing we always heard, that the word of the Bible, before one jilla dollar changed, the whole earth and heaven will pass away. So it's another day to say the same thing, in other words. And we all know, we all need to learn that this whole nation, that what we under now, in present day, it wasn't nothing but 16 nations in the Bible. And the last two nations were Esau and Jacob, which made a total of 18 nations upon the face of the earth. And we all know the story that it took 42 generations to bring Jesus in the world, the Amen. Savior of the Hebrew Israelites. It wasn't the Savior of the whole world. I think I heard somebody quote John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes shall have eternal life. But we also know that scripture where it says that we should not be lovers of the world, but we must be what? Ye transformed from the world, but be of the world, but transformed from the world. So we have to get it down packed in our minds. What God talking about, who God talking about, and who God talking to. And once we start getting it, it's just like a good mechanic. There's no way in the world you could ever be a good mechanic if you don't know all the parts in the car, if you don't know all the tools in the toolbox. If you don't know these things, how you going to say that you can work on a car? And that goes back to the metaphor of the Bible. How are you going to know what the Bible's saying when you don't even know the mechanics of the Bible? Our enemy got in control of the whole world. And that enemy, and I want to ask everybody who's listening to me, what race of people on the planet in the physical? We ain't talking about no spirit. I'm talking about the physical body. What race of people run this world? What race of people got the nuclear bomb? What race of people got the stealth bomber jet? What race of people got tanks, bombs and bullets, and guns?
Western civilization.
What race Western. Got all these things? Shouldn't what dark-skinned nation has nuclear weapons? Go around. Look the whole world over. Now look at it again. What the devil came to do? To kill, steal, and destroy. What race of people went around the whole world renaming everything? The United States of America. America's named after a white man. Africa, that's not God's name. What race of people ran around renaming people, reclassifying documents, changing the native people that Columbus so-called found in America, Indians? That was Hebrew Israelites. So we are the Hebrew Israelites. We're the original people of the planet. Just like we already established, the black man and the black woman is the father and mother of every race on the planet. And once we start learning this, and God gave commandments to one particular people, there's always have been about one God, one Savior, one baptism, one people. It's not about all. Because anybody know anything, how can everybody be number one? How can everybody be equal? We got a military system. Use imagination. If everybody was in the military had the same rank, who going to be the one to do the work? If everybody had equal money, equal power, equal everything, who going to be the people to do the lesser work? That's nothing but confusion. A man is far superior over a woman, just like Jesus Christ is far superior over any man. And God above all is far superior than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ just came down to the earth and he did everything obedient to his Father who was in heaven. And he came down and did not sin. He came down and did not make a mistake. And he did exactly what his Father in heaven told him to do. And he died. And he rose again. Did but one man do that? And he went to the pits of the earth and went into the pits of hell and got the keys from the devil. And that scripture said, "Oh, devil, what I stain? Oh, grave, where is their victory?"
Where's my death? Yeah.
And we want to learn that we are the same in the physical. That's not what we talk about. No, let's not talk about spiritual. Let's talk with the physical. And if we were to do the things in the physical, just like Jesus done, we also could have the power
Amen.
That Jesus has. So
Amen.
Go look around the world, and show me what man doing the same miracle Jesus doing. Because something done happened. We are not following. It was a switcheroo back to Esau and Jacob. It was a birthright issue. It was a birthright issue. One was born, what, older than the other one. One was going to be weaker. Y'all go back and read the book. It was two nations that was in Rebecca's womb, and they had different manner about themselves. One was a warrior. Esau was a fierce hunter. He come out red and hairy all over. And so once we learn the Bible, we done got so many doctrines, so many different things been put out there. And guess, God is not the author of confusion. So what's causing all the confusion in the world? Religion. Religion causes it. Because whoever get the big stick, whoever win the war, get the spoils. So when we go around, the white man is the one went around the whole world. I just brought it out to you. I was leaving it to your imagination, but I'm going to bring it on home. The white man was the only race on the planet that went around the whole world. Look at Australia down there. Look at the Aborigines, people in Australia. They wiped them out. They came over here in America. And the trick about slavery and all that, not only did they bring slavery, and Africans, Hebrew Israelites, that's what they was. They weren't Africans. To the America, they took the folk, black folk that they found in America, so-called Indians, and sent them back over to Portuguese and Spain, sold them over there. It was, it was a triangle. See, and they ain't told the truth about nothing, because the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. And the devil is the author of all lies. And everything I just said don't fit the white man, then who fit it? Who it fit? Who went around and rewrote history? Who the one, I heard Dr. Ron on the show last night talking about two histories. How you got two histories? There ain't but one history. And that's the history of the world. And black people fit in that history just like the white folks fit in the history. It ain't no two histories. There ain't but one history. Somebody lying. And who in charge of the lies? Black folks ain't in charge of the history books that are going in our schoolhouses. Black folks ain't the people that creating all this medicine in the hospital that don't cure nobody. Black folks ain't the one who creating the education system, the hospital medical system, the institution of military and all this stuff. Black people ain't the one doing that. Now, at one time, we was in charge. And y'all heard of the Dark Ages? We always heard the Dark Ages was the time when everything was just, miserable and dark and technology wasn't available. And the Dark Ages were the ages when the pyramid was built. The Dark Ages was when all these great things that white folk, black folk, nobody living today can explain what happened. It ain't the Dark Ages was the ages when the dark man ruled the world. Don't let white folks fool you. In the Dark Ages is when the black man ruled. And in 1642, the year of the Renaissance Age, that was in the reign of the white man. That ain't been that many years ago, 1642, early 15th century, 14th century. That's when the white man started coming into being. That's the only time when he came in there. If you go back and read Genesis, when Esau said he going to get dominance one day, and he got it. Now, he the one who's in charge of everything, Esau. Esau is the white man of the Bible. When you go back and read your Bible again, look up who is Esau. Edom, Edomites, Idumeans, the Romans, the Grecians. All those people, and they're similar right to the day. The United States similar is the Edom. Go back and read Obadiah. Read it over there. You ain't but one book in the Bible. As long as I was a Christian, all I ever heard about Obadiah is the shortest book in the Bible. And now, in the last 3 years, I wrote Obadiah. It's a powerful book because it's telling you what's going to become of the white man. Remember, if you don't remember nothing else I said, Esau is the white man. That's the progenitor of all white men. Jacob is black folk. And then Jacob's name got changed to Israel. Israel went on to become the 12 tribes of Israel. And all those 12 tribes went on to be a nation. Because you remember now, one but one seed, that's Adam and Eve. Everything started out little, but over thousands of years, those people multiplied into nations. And now we got all the dark-skinned races. And it got subdued by the white man. The white man's a virus. And I heard the host just mentioned about that the different shades of black people. And all that leprosy you read in the Bible, all the leprosy, that was black men seeing it. And God taking the melanin out of their skin to create them for evil. Their blonde hair, that's yellow hair. Go to Leviticus and read about the blonde hair, yellow hair. But then they change the alliteration in it. You change the interpretation. Yellow hair is blonde hair. It's all in the Bible. Every bit of this stuff in the Bible. Don't let nobody fool you and don't let nobody teach any of you that the Bible is a history book. It is not a religion. It's not a religion. Religion is what man created. But the Bible is for the Hebrew Israelites. All that slavery, the 400 years of slavery, in this slavery, the Hebrew Israelites suffered 7 times they went into slavery for prolonged times, 400, 370 years. And these 400 years, 1619 was the beginning of cattle slavery. 2019, with COVID, that's God releasing a plague upon the whole world, marking 2019, that's the end of slavery. Slavery will be no more. Slavery will be no more. We are in the wilderness. Go back and reread your Bible. He done told Pharaoh, Pharaoh is the white man. Let my people go. We are in the wilderness now. Pharaoh cannot get away with it. White folks cannot get away with what they used to do to us. All we got to do is, black people, look up to the hills from which your help is coming from. Believe in your higher power within yourself. Your black skin is beautiful. Your melanated skin is power. And once we learn unity, once we learn to pull together, and remember, we the majority. They've been teaching us all through the history that we minorities. It is more black folks in the world than it is white people. They the one that really the minority. They just got the big stick and got control of everything. And we got switcheroo around with that birthright stuff. And God crossed us up because we did not keep his law, statutes, and commandments. I'm pretty sure everybody on the phone got children. And if you ever said, my children, what children are you talking about? I got 4 kids in the flesh in this world. When I said my children, I ain't talking about nobody but my 4 kids. And God is the exact same way. If my people will call by my name, humble themselves, you got to first find out who is my people. God wrote this Bible very personal, very personal. It was not no broad statement. It was only pertaining to the Hebrew Israelites. The whole book is charting the Hebrew Israelites. God gave the law, statutes, and commandments to the Hebrew Israelites. No other race. Now, we don't let the other race get in charge of the books, and they include themselves and making themselves the important, making themselves the chosen people. But go to read Revelation 2 and 9. Read Revelation 3 and 9. I know thy works and their tribulation. And I know those who call themselves Jews, but are not, but are the den of Satan. Read it yourself. Go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, it started at verse 7. The world was given over to a people. They were going to rule all nations and tongues. But those who lead into captivity going to go into captivity. And those are the people whose name is not written in the book of life. The white man's name, Esau's name, is not written in the book of life. That's why he ain't got no heart. That's why he could come and enslave and murder 70,000, 20 million over in Africa and kill more people than they ever come up to about some Holocaust. 6 million people. They killed 6 million people in a year. 6 million people got killed in a year, a few months over there in Africa. So let us learn the real truth. We are the chosen people. The Bible's a history book. And once we, the biggest sin that black folk, the Hebrew Israelites committed was, thou shalt not put no other God before thee. And right to this day, we're still trying to include Esau. in the blessings. Esau never includes you in nothing but what he can get from you. Your labor, your materials, anything that got some value to it, that's all the white man interested in you is. And the only reason any of these black folk, President Obama, any of these folk get in these high positions, they got to do the will of white folks. Oprah Winfrey, name any of these black, all these black athletes, all these folks, black folks who got plenty of money. And all these years, all the money we got. And they still ain't reached back and started another Black Wall Street. Why we ain't start another Black Wall Street? And all the other towns that black folk pulled together in the past and pull their money together, build their own bank, build their own school system, build their own hospital system. When we going to pull together? Because we listening to somebody and it ain't God. All our blessings, we think we give them to God. I'm blessed and highly favored. For who? Blessed and highly favored by the white man to do whatever he tells you to do. Because you ain't blessed and highly favored from God. God said that we're going to be in thirst and want of everything. Deuteronomy 28 and round 45, 46, 47. Y'all read that. And everybody think that the Bible, oh, that didn't happen before. The Bible is a circle, just like on your car tie. It goes round and round and back again. Whatever that happened before, going to happen again. And what's happening now, then already happened before. It ain't nothing but a cycle. And this song is winding up now. It's winding up. Revelation is winding up. And God, Jesus is coming back. That black Jesus been told this lie all the year that Jesus was a white man. Anybody who's still black call itself a Christian ought to be ashamed of themselves. They ain't read no book, no Bible. They're only doing the regurgitating. What they already been told or fed. And they go around vomiting it back up to their next generation instead of learning what God thus says the Lord. So I close out and I would say this. Let us remember that we are the chosen people. Get it out your head. Get it out your psyche. Get it out your heart about worrying about other race of people. Charity start at home and spread abroad. Learn to love and forgive black folks. Learn to love and forgive people who look just like you. If we were to start that one thing, Peter asked Jesus, how many times must I forgive my brother? And
70 times 70.
And he went on to tell him, seven times 70. That's the folk that look like you.
I want to tell you right now, you strike a very note here, my brother, because what we are seeing, we are in Jacob's trouble, because I like which part you bring the Esau and Jacob story, because a birthright was sold. And we have to understand that in this special here time and in this here dispensation, the whole story is about the Hebrew Israelites. This very thing called slavery, slavery wasn't really for the black people. Per se, slavery went into Africa so that the Hebrew Israelites could be destroyed because it was the will of Satan and his wicked minions to do so. Right now here, as we are on Saturday Sundays and you know we speak the truth, I see you have hit on many, many truths, my brother. But I like how we bring the scripture on Saturday Sunday because I want to say, I lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. So we have to understand our very help is from our Creator, our Master, and our love that He gave to His children. We are the chosen people, and we ought to embrace that. But we have strayed so far from the Father, and we have gone into punishment for our wicked behavior, because I like what you said, my God, the jealous God, and He said, you shall have no other God besides me. And this is what we decide to fall in love with the fake gods, and we have strayed from the very God of Israel. So here we are returning at Sharon, humbly asking Father to have mercy upon us. It is Saturday Sunday, and I love the preaching, because what we have to know, that truly we are the children of Israel. And the story is, at this very point, for us to return to the Father. And the only true land is Africa. It is the only land that we can see diamonds and gold. And if we wasn't the chosen people, how come we have such a blessed land? Europe is cursed. There's nothing in the ground. That is Europe just barely has a history. What is going on in the museums in Europe? They have all the African artifacts, all the African heads from Benin, all the artwork from Nigeria, all the artwork from the Congo, and it is in the museum in Belgium, Scotland, and England. They stole everything from us, and if they could have thieved the melanin out of our skin, they would have done so, because it's more costly than gold and diamonds. But they have not learned to extract melanin as yet. As I know, I have to run for my life, my God, because they're going to attack me for this. And then we are saying the black people who cannot talk the truth because they have to succumb to the white man's rule. We have the Oprah Winfrey's of the world and everybody else, but we know we have Sadie Sundays where we talk the truth, so welcome to Sadie Sundays. We don't have to bend to the white man. We only serve God on this side. We have one master on this side, and he is called Yahweh, so we have no other God besides the God that we serve. So welcome to Sadie Sundays, where the truth shall be told. Is there any other callers in the audience who want to be so passionate the way I am? Dr. Robinson, please open the mic of my callers.
We have the one and the only, the queen herself. Let's give her a nice hand. And then we're going to have the king himself. We're going to give him a nice hand, too. We're going to open up both mics.
Welcome.
We opened up with that Dr. James W. Wimborn, your original co-host, creator, obligator, and man.
I bow to the queen. I bow to the queen.
Oh,
we're going to open up with the queen, the queen herself,
Queen
Olabisi. We're opening up Queen Olabisi as well.
We're going to be bowing
to the queen.
The queen bowed to the king. The king bowed to the queen. You know, I used to be busting bubbles. So allow me to allow the king to proceed.
Well, you know, I've been sitting here. I've been listening. I was listening to the brother as he, how we used to say it in Bible school, expelled on the word of God and share many jewels from the scripture as they pertain to our present reality. It's always good when you hear someone that has a revelation and understand and see what's going on and know how to make the proper biblical connection to it. We are, you know, one thing I will say to piggyback off what the brother was saying and what Sister Sadie was saying, our host, that is in my studies when I was writing Negronomics, and I found that throughout all of the captivities, should I say, in the various places where the Hebrew Israelites were, one of the biggest sins that they've always committed while they were in captivity is that they took on the God of their captors. And they begin to pray and worship the God of their oppressors. And we have been duped into doing the same thing for many, many years. You know, when I hear the normal talk now about Jesus being black, and we've come to this revelation, and I think about the fact how long it takes us to get things sometimes. You know, I had a conversation with my daughter, and she was saying how I've been saying these things for 40 years, 40-some-odd years. And we're just catching up to it. as general knowledge, but we're grateful for it because what it does, it shows an awakening. And it shows an awakening because we are living in a different time, in a different dispensation, a different millennial, however way you want to describe it. And we are waking up to just revelations and just things that we had not understood before. But even in that, I also have to say that our oppressors recognize their time is limited. I would say to the brother that spoke, they have read the book of Obadiah. They know what it says in Obadiah. And they know and believe that it's coming. And so this is their fear. Their fear is, when is this going to happen? So when they see black people coming together, when they see black people waking up, when they see black people understanding that all slaves didn't come from Africa, that some of these black folks was here already before they ever showed up. When these things start to become common knowledge, you'll see an intake in the panic energy, and you'll see it now. We look at the police brutality that we are experiencing here in the United States. It seems to be intensifying. And I said the other day on a radio show that you don't think the courts know. You don't think the authorities know. Just like we see the videos of all the police brutality, you don't think they see the videos? But they've allowed it, and they are allowing it to go on. Why? Because they realize that their days are numbered and that the people of God, which are called by his name, is humbling themselves, turning from their wicked ways and seeking their face so that we can hear from heaven and so that it would heal our land. So we're in here now. I often tell people the thing that you have to do is, if everything works in divine timing, if everything is working in divine timing, why are you here now? What is your purpose? What is your reason? Are you here just to witness this change? Or are you here to be a part of the change and to help us move back into our rightful place? So that ought to be our conversation every day. Moving back into our rightful place, taking back control of our destiny, our money, our economy, our land, our homes, our education, who's educating our children, who's holding on to our money, who's building our properties. These are the things that we're moving towards because we don't have a choice. So for that, I give thanks. I think I'm grateful for the level of conversation that's happening here at the Ethiopian Wealth Federation Corporate Local Number 26 Women's Auxiliary Program on Sadie Sundays. Did I get it all? I got it all in, right? And
it's quite
happening?
A mouthful, doctor, but you're kind of you can handle it.
I do the best I can. I do the best I can. So, I mean, listen, there is so much going on. There's so much that we need to be aware of. There's so much that we're waking up to. And we just got to stay focused. One of the things that we need to do, and I can't have this conversation without saying, is that everybody we know, everybody that's under the sound of my voice, everybody that's listening to this radio show, ought to be going out, ought to be members of the Federation, because that's our saving grace. That's our umbrella. That's our protection. Ought to be members of the Ethiopian World Federation. You, your family, your brothers, your mother, your father, your sisters, your cousins, the doorman, the pastor, the deacon, the whole outdoor section, everybody ought to be members of the Ethiopian World Federation. That is our strength. That is our umbrella. and we need to keep focusing on that, and we need to keep pushing people towards that, and making what we're doing stronger and stronger and stronger. That'll always be our objective, so that we have something, you know, coming concrete out of these great conversations that we have, because these conversations are wonderful, in our beliefs. And our beliefs are strong. We believe we can make anything happen. We have faith we can make anything happen. But, however, I will tell you that faith, and I'm sure that the Reverend will back me up on this, faith without works is dead.
Well, uh-huh.
So when you start doing that, I think there's often time. So I'm going to get you.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I'm gonna have a $20 line for y'all to cash out.
Deacon Ramalay. Deacon Ramalay, thank you so much, sir. And I'm gonna get Deacon Terrence Ruffin in here too now. don't get me started.
All right. But that's
well.
That's where we at, and then we gotta all come together. Give thanks.
So hey, we don't forget Queen Lola Bisi is an usher. We don't forget.
That's right. We need the ushers in the Federation too. The ushers, the assistant usher, the deacon, the choir director, the piano player, the bongo player, the sister that played the tambourine.
What a church, you know. And Sadie Sunday, we do church.
Ooh la 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 la! I am happy to be here on Sadie Sunday. I am happy to be here on Sadie Sundays at the Ethiopian World Federation Women Auxiliary Unit Chapter 26. Did I get it all in as well?
That was good.
So I just came in. I'm still not home. I'm dropping somebody off in Queens. I just came back from PA. So I don't know if you guys discussed our conscious community. One of our conscious community men that we have had quite a lot of respect for, pled guilty to having sex with a 14-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Please tell us a story.
Who was that?
Brother Polite.
Polite.
Brother Polite.
He confessed to that?
Well, he pled guilty. He got 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, right.
I heard when the story broke out before the indictment or whatever, but yeah, I heard about it, but I didn't. Yeah. Very unfortunate.
Wait a minute, it's coming back to me now. This is the girlfriend's daughter or something like that.
Yes, from what I understand. This is
something like that,
this
right?
Girlfriend's daughter. And, you know, one of the things, I found it out because Dr. Omar had a lot to say about it, which, for once, you know, he could pack in a mouthful, but for once, I absolutely was appalled that here we have all these people in the so-called conscious community and everybody's silent. But when Dr. Umar had the issue with the conscious stripper, which, as I say, you know, people say I defend him, and I said, listen, if you see a woman in a particular environment, and of course, if she is a stripper, she is obviously well-stacked, so, and probably beautiful, or let's say she have features that are easy on the eyes. In an environment, if you have an Ethiopian World Federation function and you see a woman come through and Dr. Winborn takes a shine to her because, you know, hey, she looks nice, she might be fairly intelligent, you know, you strike up some kind of conversation. while you're writing a man or two, you know, semi-single, you know, because let me use the word semi-single, you know, not obviously attached.
Is there something like that?
Yes,
we're married.
Already.
Oh, my
God. Yes,
we're
married, but we're pregnant, perhaps.
Oh, my God.
I'm looking
at you. Huh?
It's City Sundays, people.
Well.
It's City Sundays.
There is a Queen Adebisi, there is a underlying conversation in the underground community, right? He is not the first person that that have been accused of that particular crime.
Which is the truth. As a matter of fact, Dr. Johnson did not call any name, but he of course alluded to the nation that has is very popular, and the head of the nation was also accused by ex
Malcolm.
Yes.
About the underage.
You know,
yeah.
There's a lot.
But see, here's the thing. I wasn't even thinking about.
No, that's true.
They had said that about. We gotta be afraid to say. They said so. It's not like it's a secret. It's out there. That this is what he was accused of. But I'm specifically at this point was also referring to Dr. York. I don't know if y'all remember Dr. York.
Oh, yeah, I remember. He's somewhere, what, 20
York.
Feet? Is it 20 feet?
He's where?
You know, there's a lot of people. You know, a lot of ways like this who have been accused of, you know, not so much underage children, that type of thing, but just affairs and women and et cetera, and, you know, and that's an old saying, if you dig deep enough, you might find something, you know, how that goes. But there's a proper way, if you're a leader, from my perspective, there's a proper way to do everything, and there are certain things that one should not do if you're trying to lead people into a certain direction. You know what I'm saying? Now, people can say what they want about Farrakhan. Him and his wife just celebrated 70-something years of marriage. You know, his high school sweetheart, he's 90 years old. He's 90-something years old. The Honorable Minister Farrakhan and his wife got to be somewhere around 89, 90. As well, and they've been together since, since they've been teenagers, 17, 16, you know, sweethearts from young.
Mm-hmm.
They got married right after then, and they've been together, you know, forever. I never heard of any
rumors,
affairs, or anything like that from the Honorable Minister. I never heard about him doing anything. And I'm just saying that when you leading people, especially black people, because of the condition that we live under and the destruction that they try to show us, you know, there are certain things that you have to take. You have to, you know, the Bible says like the disciples and the prophets had to sacrifice themselves, you know. So,
yes.
So there are certain things that, you know, that you can do and you cannot do, and
right.
You know, to be a leader.
That's why I don't
you
want
know
that
you
job.
Have to. Yes, you got it already. You know, And we know nobody's perfect. And you and trust and believe, God ain't looking. God know he ain't gonna find no perfect person.
Right.
But as still, there are certain things that I would say to myself as a father, a grandfather, a great great grandfather, things I wouldn't want for my granddaughters and my daughters and so forth. There's some certain things you got to just. My mama told me when I had my first child was a girl. My mama said, listen, you can't go around here messing around with these women and doing all these things to these women because you got a girl now, and so you have to live. I didn't understand it at that young age, but she was right. There's certain things okay. I didn't want done to my daughters, and there's certain things that you got to. I have, you know, you have to learn to show respect to other people's daughters because I tell you one thing: what goes around comes around. And so, you know, and it's unfortunate that man has his weaknesses. You know, it's just a part of being human being. But
I hate to hear that word used as if there's a sickness, as if it's a disease. I mean, by now everybody
right.
knows
it's
that
a natural order.
I know by now everybody knows that I am very much in support of polygamy. Several reasons. We certainly outnumber men that are worthy. That's the word I want to use. Worthy. Because even some of these people who are getting married, I can tell you, some of them not worth even toilet paper that's already been used. So we have these big celebrations, and when we have these big celebrations, he has trained a bouquet to a crowd of women with barely a few men standing by, and we are expecting that somehow they will all find illegible men when there aren't any right there, even in that room that they're tossing these bouquets to, and your necks, and your necks for what? For death? Anyway, so that being said, everybody fully aware that I am very much in support of polygamy. I think that polygamy should be done the right way. And if it is done the right way, we would not have those connotations and that energy surrounding it. You know, what goes around comes around. You know, you're going to be playing around and, you know, you're going to be disrespecting people. And no, we are polygamous people. And if we cannot go back there, we are doomed to fail. The only person that cannot be called into court to testify against you is your spouse, because there's something called spousal privilege. That's why Lieberman and Schwartz and all of these people could have their 5 wives, 10 wives or how many. I'm not sure if they have limits on how many they can have. But certainly, they are able to manipulate the system quite easily because there's no secret. There's no nothing
being
hidden.
Let me ask you a question, Queen, if I may. The same way you are to this understanding.
Forget the noise in the background. I'm striving to grab something for dinner because
okay.
Pennsylvania had nothing. So go ahead.
The same way you describe this understanding in this purest form, where you say polygamy is the natural order of things, and this is how it should be. And we have been moved away from our polygamous nature because of our oppressors. And that there was a time we grew up.
Hold on one second. I don't want you to use the word or the phrase that we have been pulled away from our polygamous nature. The reason we have so many divorces, the reason why we have so many families being destroyed It is because the nature is innate. It cannot be extracted. It cannot be eradicated.
Right. No,
and
I'm not saying
natural.
That.
So
I agree with you. I agree with you.
Don't say
this
that,
is what I'm saying.
You know, we've
that
been pulled out of the nature. We have been conditioned
been
to try to accept something else.
Right. So what I'm saying, it is natural. Let's say it is natural, right? And we have been taught to suppress it because of social ideology, because of what a certain society we live in say that acceptable social behavior now is one man, one woman. And we have bought into that. And we have tried to live according to that social construct. What if those men that are sleeping with the 14-year-olds, because this is like the third time I've heard that number, 14, and I have heard arguments that they say that the social construct is wrong and nothing about what they're doing is wrong. What would you say about that? Like the same way we've misunderstood polygamy and monogamism, is it possible if we, you know, just as the devil's advocate, that these individuals that say that the fact that we put a number on the person is incorrect and that maturity is based on an individual basis.
Can I chime in on this?
No, I had muted because there's a lot of background noise. And like I said, I'm trying to grab dinner. I want to, can you guys just have a conversation and give me just a few minutes because I'm about to pay.
Yeah. All right. Go
And I'll come back in. So you guys can have
a
conversation in the interim.
Yeah.
Can anybody hear me? Can y'all hear me?
Can hear you.
Yes, we can.
All right.
Yes, you can shout
me. Okay, now listen to this. Now, we are Hebrew Israelites. Go back to the Bible. Jacob had four wives, and I heard her mention something about how many wives can a man have. The wives is based on how many wives can you afford. How many wives can you afford? Now, the Bible says you have to treat each one of them wives equal. So if you give one $100 and you got four, you got to get all of them $100. I'm just using this as an analogy according to the Bible. You have to treat those women equally. So what's the purpose of a man becoming a millionaire and build a castle? What's the purpose of that? And we always remember now we're talking kingdomship. If you're going to go into kingdomship, then the reason why you rich, what sense do it make? I'm going to offer this to the men and some women who listening. What's the reason for a man to become a millionaire, billions of dollars, got it? And then he ain't got but one wife? Does that make any sense? I got 25 cars. I got four houses, one in the north, one in the south, one in the east, and one in the west. And I got all these things. So ain't this mighty, mighty foolishness? Ain't it mighty, mighty silliness that I got all this kind of... And then on top of that, I got a ferocious sex drive with all those material things. Is anybody in their right mind, a woman, anybody in their right mind ought to know that man got more than one woman. I ain't even going to play that game if I had that kind of money. Not even going into that mess. I was married for 31 years, and I'm a single man now. I refuse to take any wedding vows with a woman again. She's the only woman in my life. That don't even make no sense. If I got married at 22 years old, my wife was 21. Till death did us part. And the thing that one woman put me through to have sex, I left out of my house and told her to her face, I'm going to get me another woman. I'm going to have sex. You're not going to control my sex life. Ain't no one woman control my sex life. She got her period. that she can't perform, and that's the one excuse that I won't mess with, because the Bible says she unclean at that point, period. Do not touch her, mess with her. And Leviticus and all that went all the way as far as to don't even sleep in the bed with her. But technology and the things that we got now that they didn't have back then allow us to sleep in the bed together with her period on. So we done overcome that. But the point I'm trying to make to you, you started out, the host of the show just a minute ago, Dr. Wimber, whatever your name is, I get it right. Forgive me for mispronouncing.
That's close enough.
You said it out. It's this society. We are a superior race to the white man. If we were to go back to our polygamous ways, have our four women, because we're doing it anyway, stop lying. Stop lying. We're doing
right.
it anyway.
Right.
We're doing it.
Right.
It don't make no sense to be a liar.
I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
It don't make no sense to be a liar.
We're
it don't make no sense to be a cheat.
Right.
I'm telling you.
And because
it don't make no sense in that.
It puts the negative energy on it.
It puts all the negative energy on it. Because it ain't right. This
right.
uncontrollable system we got now.
Behind
this bond. And you're going around the corner. You're keeping all these secrets. And you got a girlfriend, a mistress on the side over there. Now, don't you think it'll be better if it's done right, like the missus was telling you? It was done right. This woman know that woman, that woman, that woman, all us in the house. I'm a millionaire. I got plenty of money. I should, if I got $1 million and I got that bigger bank account, I ought to have 25, 30 children. And I should not want one woman to have no 35 or 20 children. I can afford all of them. And that's too much burden
you
to
know.
Put on one woman to have 14 children, 15 children. And then the most kind of millionaire folks, they get millionaire, they don't have no children. And the bare man who can't feed kids got 10, 11 children. That don't make no sense. Y'all know
I read somewhere that one man
that don't make sense.
Could impregnate every woman on earth. One man.
Absolutely.
Got enough semen in him. To impregnate every woman on earth.
That would be one black man.
But that white man suppressed us. Listen, that white man suppressed us because he knew we would overrun
man.
Him.
Please be specific and say it is Sunday now.
We were overrun
one man,
him.
One black man.
We were overrun that white man in population. They do not count us right now. We've been at 13% in the United States forever. I've been in the world 60 years. Here we at 13%. They lying their ass off in the truth in them. There's way more
you know,
black folks in the United States.
You know, are you hear me?
Yeah,
yeah, I hear you.
Okay, you know, listen. During slavery, when so-called Europe and the United States was to abandon slavery, okay, what did they come up with the idea in Virginia? A breeding farm. All right, and
yeah.
they went in and they sent themselves or us in to breed with the women to increase the population, to increase their wealth. All right, and then what happened? Then what happened when the men were away, the white men were away, and the women were lonely and got anxious. You know, they went into the slave house and stole a woman's husband and had sex with him. You know. And so on. So this has been going on for a long time. But the other thing of this is that when the white man came back and the woman was pregnant, she said that he seduced me, he raped me. Okay, and by doing that, he got castrated, killed, you know, and stuff like that. But if she was caught in the act, and so on. So here we have a situation where. The world, Africa, the African black people have never been monogamous.
Never.
Never been monogamous, you know.
No, it takes a village.
It takes a village, you know. All right, why are you going to some – I had a friend, he had 12 wives. Vinny Vanzarelli, black guy, during the 60s, he was a skate professional, dancing and all that other kind of stuff. He had 12 wives, okay, lived here in the neighborhood. One of his wives died, and his wives went to him and they got together and they said, well, you have to choose another wife. you know, we didn't understand it at that time, being young men of 21 and what have you. But we didn't understand that. But even in those other parts of the world, you know, of the black world, you got women, you have men that have five and six wives, and one takes care of the financing, the other takes care of the farm, the other takes care of the money, the other, you know, and so on and so forth. And so through that, that village is built, and it's stable.
Rod, I'm glad you said that. You know why? Because I was just getting ready to say that. I have a friend and a client. He has four wives, right?
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then he talk about he got room on his 1040 for another one, right? Just mm-hmm. as a joke. I got room on my 1040 for another one.
Yeah.
Each of them have their own home,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, all four of the homes is in one of the wives' names.
Mm-hmm.
They have a business, right?
Yes.
Right.
All their business is ran by one of the other wives.
Yes.
Right.
So they are all doing things together.
Yes.
You understand, to do what they need to do.
Clearly.
And it works out for them. It works out wonderfully. They got nine kids all together. All the kids are all the kids. There's nine of them. So each mother look at all the kids as all their children.
Yeah.
Right.
And polygamy is dangerous to the white man.
It's dangerous to the white man. Don't forget that.
Not only is it dangerous to him. See, okay, so let's go back. Let's say we go back to the theory that they come out of the Caucasoid Mountains and they survived the ice age and they became cold and every day there was nothing. There was no ground. There was no soil. There was no rich land given up to them so everyone could share. So they created their own little clique. It's me and my family. And we're going to get what we can get and we're going to store what we can store. And that's it. You on your own. So all I'm looking at is for me and mine. And all you got to do is look out for you and yours. And whatever happens, whatever happens. So that thing of coming together, everyone being together, that died. That's not going to happen.
Selfishness. Yeah.
So that's why you have the theories now of the one wife. Because you start this one business. That's why, listen. Why do you think now they want you to go down to the marriage council and have marriage certificates and all of that? Because
so
it's a business.
Keep up with you. To keep up with you.
Right, to keep up with you. It's the business of marriage. So they want to make sure that they get in their cut.
The business of marriage.
But I want you to observe something. When you look at the stars and you hear, oh, this is Michael Douglas's wife. Look at her name. She doesn't carry anything, Douglas. Look at Robin, what's her name? Most of these people who are big do not have the same name situation where they got married in the municipal court or they had that type of wedding. It is that friends and relatives have recognized that these two people are co-joined in union. So we're the only ones who calling suckers for this Pandora's box. And then when they catch you, because marriage is big money. I mean,
big money.
The dresses, the hall, the liquor, the food, the bridesmaids,
The diamonds, the children, the
honeymoon. I mean,
the divorce,
to break the black man back. Divorce to break the black man. Keep that black woman against him and take him to court and break his back.
Well, that's part of the deal. Because that's when you have for the divorce. You are so fortunate that you both need an attorney. You cannot have a conversation between yourselves as to how you divide, you know, the assets. You have to have an attorney. There must be an arbitrator. There must be a judge. There must
a lot
be
of, well, look at Dr. Fisher. A lot of men say marriage is exhausting.
Very.
So having 4, 5, 6 wives, a man would consider that exhausting. I'm saying that, okay, like y'all say, the marriage, the divorce, the this, the that, all of the things that come with complications of marriage. So that man, thinking on a polygamy level, would think that I would be exhausted if I had all these women here in this home at one time. Now, what Dr. Wimborn said, would a gentleman have 4 wives and they have different homes? I don't know. Maybe that could work out. No, you go to one home, go to the other home. But marriage as we know it now, marriage as we know it in this modern time in America right now, it's exhausting. It takes a toll.
I don't want a now wife with the system we got now. Zero wives.
And we say weddings are exhausting, not marriages.
Stressful.
Yeah.
Is that a
and
statement?
The same. All mics are open. If people want to contribute to the conversation as well, all mics are open. Yes, you're right. And I think this is something that, you know, I'm glad we're having the discussion. It's so necessary because family, marriage, children, society, they talk about the moral and the ethical decay of the society based on the family structure. And so, you know, this discussion is very important because we need to know I think everybody's opinion or everybody's experience with marriage and family and children, et cetera, is important to know. You know, some people, like I said, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, you know, he's 90-something. His wife is 90. Mm-hmm. And they've been married since they've been 16, 17, sweethearts, and they're mm-hmm. still together. You know, I don't know in terms of how many other wives he might have. You know, there's no haven't been mention of that, but I know he had that ability.
No, he only has one.
Okay, but I, you know, I know in the religion that he's in, he has the ability to have many as he can have,
mm-hmm.
and so everybody can contribute to the conversation. All mics are open.
Yes. This is your host, Mercedes. I just want to add the reason why that he's still alive today is because he had one wife. 77 years of marriage to one wife. He was well preserved. I'm not going to bash polygamy here or that type of relationship because I want to weigh the matter of things whereby a case where marriage is an institution where we learn how to coexist. And, of course, we have inherently personality clashes of all types. So we are mm-hmm. seeing a man having these 5 wives. It is easy for him if these women can agree and there is no confusion along the way. I have known of a man who has 5 wives, but wife number 4 does not get along with anybody. And that's a true situation. Wife number 1 was good, number 2 was good. And wife number 4, she's the devil of all time. And he was telling me, maybe I should suffer 3. I said, maybe so. But greed took over, and there we go. Again, we have to weigh and balance things because, again, we are looking at harmony. Harmonious relationships could be a man has to wives. Look at King Solomon. I mean, we know the black man. He said, I'm black and comely. And they were falling at his feet. And he took every one of them, you know, of course. He collected talents.
Yes.
He couldn't pass
himself.
How many wives? Yeah. And then he had 300 concubines. Oh, my God, how he loved the king. But we know where we came from. The black people. King David, of course. We came along a generation. But the black man, having understood a marriage, apart from being able to satisfy a woman financially, we are talking sexually here. So therefore, it was impossible for the white man to follow suit because, let's just keep it real here, because we are doing Sadie Sundays, and we know a white man and his physical abilities, he can't have 3 wives because he can barely have 3 minutes. So we are just saying Sadie Sundays, we speak the truth. A black man who can wear you all for one day, he better have a second wife because I'm just saying, you know, I will have to consider this thing in a few years from now. I may have to pick a wife myself because, you know, it's just laborious at times, and I am not going to bash polygamy here, I swear, because the black man has certain needs that a white man doesn't have based on his physical abilities. So we can see where, again, selfishness to the white man, he said, let me take care of my family. You take care of yours. And if I pilfer and steal it from my family, just, that's how we became Queen of England and everything else. But, you know, we are still talking here about the black race, which we know unity is strength. And here we should come together because the woman who has nothing should not be left undone. If a black man is a millionaire and he can afford five wives, and so it has been done, therefore every black sister has a shelter to go under. And I like the fact that there's something called equality within, because if you give wife number one a house and you're going to pick wife number two, you have to give her a house as well. So there's no cheating situation where trying to give this one $1,000, this one gets nothing, you're crazy and everything.
I think you have to start giving her room in a house. I think you have to start giving her room in a house.
Or get a large room, enough, a large,
you know,
house.
We can let her to me and ask her, what shall we say, once upon a time? You know, it's a Cinderella story here. But we are talking the real polygamy could exist among the black people because surely it's probably within our nature to do so. See, as I said, it's about a state and level of contentment. So we know the black man having been able to satisfy women in so many different ways. And financially, the kings and queens and the big castles, he can afford five wives or more. But we see where in this type of society, where the white, please mute you. I know the sirens are passing, so we all say this Sundays. We take everything and we work with it. Oh, we do understand because we're rolling still. So we understand that, you know, a situation where a polygamous agreement, where there's harmony, I can see nothing wrong with it because it's all about, for me, satisfaction, contentment, happiness, joy, and of course, if all these things can be held in the balance, it can be very good for us because we see no one is left alone or no one is left behind, however, for the women's sake, you know. And of course, the black man being able to satisfy so many women.
You have 917-667-12.
Not every man could. Not every man has the capability of being a polygamous husband, okay?
Well, we do understand. But since let's give 917 a chance to chime in. 917, we want to bring you in on the Sadie Sunday. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, Herb Clemens.
Oh, welcome. Herb, would you like to share something with us on this wonderful Sadie Sunday? I know you are probably an earful or two. Would you like to share something with us?
No, I just got on the line, so I have no idea. I'm trying to determine the main content of the of the conversation.
Well, Herb, you know, is this your first time on the show? Well,
yes,
I guess
it is.
Not, but what
yes,
we do on Daily Sundays, the first thing we do is talk the truth. So what we really do, we take the things from under the rug and we just lift it out gently, we examine it, we
right.
See the truth here, and sometimes we put it back. So we go from A to Z and we go right back again. So we are talking everything else, and now we have reached into the area of a polygamous relationship, but you know we are speaking of contentment here, so you can share with
right.
us what you think of polygamy or a man having many wives if he could afford it.
Well, everybody does. It's all about self-interest, but it also comes down to what is your belief system. So everything, well, your foundation is your belief system. Is what do you believe? What do you practice? Whether it's 20 wives or whether it's one, what do you believe in? So, again, you know, the old saying, each man his own. It doesn't get any simpler than that. most people have a problem with one, let alone three or four wives. But, again, those are individual, not so – they're individual decisions, but they're also individual needs. So, again, I have no clue as to what the next man desires and what they expect from a relationship.
Well said and safely said, because as you say, a man has enough trouble just one wife, much less two or three, because I can just tell you, you know, those females can really unbalance you if you're not careful. So you must know what you have. You know, there are some people on our show, they have reached number five wife and they have given up all of them because they said, oh my gosh, it really was too much trouble. I will not call no names because people may have to laugh or whistle, but it's Satan's Sundays. We wild over here. We have a few minutes,
right,
but we just
don't want to embarrass Ron like that.
Oh my God, who said that to Robinson?
You hear me? Don't call no names because we don't want to embarrass
my
so
my friends, my friend, my best
about.
Friend, my good friend that I thought could hold on to a little bit of something. But since you let out the bag, I love all of them.
I'm going to chime in one more thing. There's a reason why adultery got added to the Ten Commandments. And that reason for that, for the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery, it was no reason to commit adultery when you had multiple wives. There's no reason to go look at another man's wife when you go down the street and get you another woman that looked like
because
that wife, that man's wife.
Do not
mess with another man's wife. I believe in that. It's a loose woman down the road somewhere you can get. Now leave that other man's wife alone. That's all I'm saying.
Well, before we go any further, I need to get you 6 minutes in because, very importantly, what it is that we say, David had the choice to write Psalm 51 because David, come on. You have all these wives. Why can't you just leave the man wife alone? That's why you're punished, David. It wasn't the fact. God, really. You have so many wives. But
that's
when you saw that beautiful Abigail in the river, I can just imagine the sensation. So there was no more holding back. So therefore, I shall say, have mercy upon me, O Lord.
Exactly.
According to thy love and kindness, according unto the multitude of thy mercy.
Exactly.
So here we go. It's Sadie Sundays, and we're doing scripture. That was Psalm 51. Chime in, everyone. Your mics are open.
And God told David, if you wanted more wives, I would have gave you more wives. If you needed more houses to have more wives, I would have gave you more houses. You ain't have no reason to mess with that man's wife. That still holds today.
I never believed that, David just went for, I think it's
David. David was like, you ain't had no business out there squashing up like that.
I think there was mutual interest for the two.
It's in the scriptures. It's in the scriptures. I read it. It's in the scripture what God told David.
I don't have to take the blame, but
You at the final analysis, host. You at your end.
You know where we have fun on this show. You know we really know. I say these Sundays, in just in case the hours and time is running out, because we are moving to the top of the hour. We have just been about 4 minutes. But remember now, we always can get back here next week Sunday and continue the same type of fun. But for the next 4 minutes, we'll see who is in the studio that did not get a time to speak, and we'll open all mics. Here you chime in. You know the topic.
Put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your soul, it will get better.
It's got to get
better.
gotta get better.